Steve.
Hey.
It's Robert. How are you?
Good. I'm good.
So, very good. I mean, I guess the first question I would sort of ask is, I mean, obviously you ran the 3:56 flat mile, and that's what grabbed our attention, but sort of when I saw the result, I was like, Steve, I was wondering first if you're American, and I was like, maybe he's Canadian. I've never heard of this guy. You know, I mean, who is Steve Scher?
I guess I graduated from Michigan State recently. I was All-American a couple times. I guess I never really did anything to really, you know, step on the big scene. Went out to California during the farm team. Didn't work out for me. Started coaching myself. Got to the USA Nationals a couple times, but I guess never had a huge breakthrough like I did. With the 3:56, that was pretty big. I mean, I ran 3:41 and 1:47, which is pretty good, I guess. A lot of people do that. So, yeah, I guess just it all came together for that race. Felt really fresh and really good. And tried new tapering things and stuff like that, so it worked out for me well.
Right. I mean, you know, after I started looking around, you know, I saw that, you know, you were a pretty good college runner, All-American. But, you know, I mean, you ran sort of you broke 7:59, what, was that your sophomore year in college? Or maybe your redshirt sophomore year? But not a whole lot after that, and it sounds like the farm team after college wasn't, you know, you just said right there you weren't running real well. I mean, it looks like up to 2 years ago your PR was 3:45, is that right, up until 2005?
Yeah, that was the best I ever did.
Yeah, I mean, how do you explain the big breakthrough?
Which one, the mile or the 15?
Well, really either one. I mean, going from 3:45 to 3:41 by yourself, or either from 3:41 to 3:56 full mile. And, you know, I mean, most guys, it seems like, don't even try to keep going after college unless they're sort of top two or three at NCAAs. And then it's very unusual to be doing it on your own. So,
Well, I'm kind of a picky athlete. Coaches don't really like me too much, in all honesty. We're all like coaches that have it their way, the highway, so to speak. So all through college, I kind of, well, I don't want to speak badly about anybody at all, and I won't, but it's just that I need a different style of coach, I think, like a very, very personalized than most athletes. So I always thought that I could do a lot better on my own, especially because my high school coach, who was a genius in my mind, got me running a 1:52, the second year I've ever run my entire life, 1:51 relay split. And I just kind of did some things that he used to do with me, and then studied also some runners like Seth Coe and Elder Rouge, you know, and Matt Kennedy and other guys, and just kind of put my own training together and then started running a lot faster, which was pretty nice. Kept me kind of inspired and stuff, so kept on trying. And then this year, I came out here to California coaching and personal training. And then I kind of recently also got an advisor. I don't know. I call him a coach. I just bounce ideas off of him and stuff like that, but I still write all my own workouts and decide my own schedule and everything like that. But he does come on time and stuff, and he's a very smart guy for sure, Roy Harmitz. So I think that kind of helped me too, just having somebody to really bounce ideas off of and watch me and keep me motivated and stuff like that. So all those things kind of came together, and then I just felt really good seeing that mile.
Right. Do you work out by yourself?
Yeah, it's kind of nice being a personal trainer because a lot of runners get injured a lot in college because a lot of coaches don't know how to lift to keep athletes injury-free. And you can only get better if, you know, you stay healthy. So that's been kind of a big difference too, because in college I was hurt pretty much every year with something. I didn't really know how to lift or, like, how to stay healthy. And then I finally learned how just from researching it a little bit, which is, I don't know why I didn't do it a lot earlier, but I didn't. So I've been injury free for the past 2.5 years, and I think that's also been a huge benefit to me too, as well.
Right. training stuff. What would you say the key aspects are of your training philosophy?
There's a lot. Probably, I don't do anything like slower than race pace on the track, and I do everything aerobically off the track. That's kind of one of the things. I stole that from Al Garouge, who did everything pretty quick on the track, and then everything aerobic off the track. That's all like sub 60 or like goal 800 pace or something like that, just that stuff. And I guess I just, one thing that I tried differently for this race, which was good, was I taped it the week before and then pushed. I worked really hard the whole week during the race. So I kind of, I still got tapering, but I wasn't like dead-legged from tapering for a race or something, or flat, I should say. So that kind of helped me out a lot. I haven't done that ever. So that might have been a big change there. And I guess my philosophy is quality is way better than quantity. We'll say that. I don't like the whole American coach that you need to run over 75 miles a week or have a long run. Even I don't do long runs. I don't really run over an hour ever.
Really?
Yeah, I don't really think they're good for the body.
You're speaking blasphemy. You're violating all of my coaching philosophies at Cornell. Maybe I should mute the rest of the interview. I'm kind of kidding. But.
I know. Like I said, coaches hate me.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, when kids tell me about Al Garouche, my biggest response is, you know, how do you know that he was clean? I'm not so convinced that he was. But, you know, I guess that's...
Oh, I can't do his workouts. I just kind of steal his philosophies.
Yeah. So how much mileage do you run?
I probably top out at 70 max on like higher weeks, but I normally don't go above that, really. But I mean, like I'll do like a 5 mile run at like in 25:50 or something like that, you know. But I don't really ever run too much over 6 miles at once.
Right.
Sometimes I do a tempo up a mountain or something, and then going down it takes a while, so that's the longest I'll ever run. It's a little bit over an hour, just because I have to get down the mountain.
Right.
But yeah.
You know, I mean, going into this year, obviously, it's an Olympic year. I mean, you've had some sort of minor breakthroughs, it looks like, in the last couple of years. But sort of, I mean, prior to the race last weekend, what were your goals for the year?
My goals are definitely to make it to indoor nationals, because I've never done that before, besides college. So that was kind of nice to make it there. Worlds now is definitely the goal for this season. And for sure, I'm probably going to focus on the 800, a little more so. I've kind of decided. I'm not exactly too sure on that yet. I guess we'll kind of see how the rest of the year plays out, but, I might even do both. I don't even know right now. But I guess definitely a goal would be to make it to the finals, because I've never done that at nationals either. I kind of always blow up in the semis at national championships. Except for in college, one year. But, so I just I really want to race smart and, kind of do well in the finals for sure. And obviously, I mean, the end goal would definitely be to make an Olympic team for sure. I mean, never going to a race thinking I'm going to lose. So I'm not going to go into that race thinking I'm not going to get top three. Definitely.
Right, and prior to the race in Seattle, had you done any sort of, I don't know, any time trials or anything that gave you an idea of what were you thinking you could do going into that race?
Well, I did a couple like Los Gatos high school meets, just my high schoolers, kind of just for fun and for like a practice and stuff. I just did like an open 400 and like a 50 point for one meet, so I really didn't tell me anything. And then I did a 800 and like a 152 and another 50 point quarter and then a 4x4 relay with my high schoolers. Just because we're just like an open meet that, you know, doesn't count for really much of anything. So, I really had no idea, in all honesty. And for my workouts, I've had a lot better workouts in the past too than I did this week, but, so I really had no idea, which is why I waited probably a little bit longer than I should have. From like looking back at my race, I probably should have gone a little bit earlier, but I waited a little too long because I just didn't know where I was, in all honesty, from my workouts or even the little Scottis meets
beating up on high scores isn't necessarily a good indication you're ready to run 356.
I do win by a lot. It's kind of a confidence booster.
I watched the video of the race, and it almost looked like everybody else was standing still when you hit the 1,200. I mean, it was almost like you were kicking too soon. You just put on so much distance. I mean, describe that feeling. Like, could you sense that you were just absolutely destroying the race, or did it just feel like a normal race, and did you have any idea, like, when you're coming down the stretch, what it was going to be?
I really had no idea. I actually thought that they were right behind me. I didn't know I was going that far under 4. I thought it was going to be pretty close. I thought I was going to do it, so I was getting pretty excited. But I was kicking like they were kind of on my heels a little bit in the home stretch. It felt really, really good. The whole last, like, 500 meters, except for the last, like, 100 meters, started to tie up a little bit. But still, I felt pretty good. So I'm pretty excited to go into my next race just to see, because now I have an idea of where I'm at, you know, and I'm going with that kind of confidence a little bit. So I'm excited to see. Hopefully Arkansas is the next race, but we'll see. The Tyson invite.
Yeah, I mean, that was one thing I was going to ask you about. I mean, sort of sounds like you're a personal trainer. I mean, how do you make a living? Do you even have an agent? Have you ever been sponsored? Those type of things.
No. Willie Harmitz, he's the guy who comes out and times me and I bounce ideas off of him and everything. He gives me free shoes when I wear Athletic Performance, which is his shoe store here in Los Gatos. So I send everybody to him for shoes in Los Gatos. Smith Barney kind of helps me out. I worked with them over last summer, so they helped me out with travel and stuff, but I really never signed anything with anybody, and I don't have an agent yet. I have been contacted by a couple, and I guess some people are working on some deals for me, so I guess we'll see, but no, I've never really had an agent. I've been contacted before this race or any type of big sponsor, like your Nikes or Adidas or anybody else like that.
Right. How many hours a week do you work?
Way too many. personal training, I'm probably upwards of about 25 to 30, and then I coach too, and training in between that. And I also have some other sales jobs that I'm working at too. So I'm really never home.
Right. And what brought you out to California? Where were you before that this year?
I was in Michigan. I actually lived with Nick Willis. I thought he'd be a great training partner, and he's a great guy, but we just don't do the same things at all. He's more of a long-distance kind of guy, you know, like a 16-mile long run and all that fun stuff, and it works well for him, but I can't do that type of volume that he does and be, you know, sane. So it didn't end up as good as I thought it would be, so we really didn't really train together ever, and it was way too cold for me in Michigan, so I just kind of, I don't know why, I just get really cold limbs when I run. I don't really produce much heat for some reason, but I just can't run very long outside, so I said if I wanted a good shot at the Olympics, and I really did, I'd have to move out here, and I kind of did it solo, so I didn't really have a team or anything. I just knew that if I wanted to train during the winter and run local and indoors and get a good base, I would have to come out here to Cali or somewhere else that's warm. But I had connections here, being on the farm team, so the move wasn't that stressful as it could have been.
Right. So, I mean, Nick Willis, that's pretty good company. How did you get hooked up with him? I mean, that's, he's one of the top milers in the world. How did he end up being your training partner?
He and I were involved in Athletes in Action, which is a Christian ministry on campuses, and we kind of knew each other from that. So actually after a race in college, he said, hey, you want to live with me? You want to be my roommate after this year? I was like, yeah, sure. We'll see if that works out. And we were kind of both kind of like, well, you know, if it works out, great. If not, whatever. But then as the year came closer, it kind of worked out, and I wanted to come back because I was leaving the farm team, and he needed a roommate, so it worked out. It's just like I said, though, we just had different training philosophies that worked out for us. So it was kind of not as good a match as we had hoped.
Right. And what do you think went wrong with the farm team? Do you think it was sort of that it's sort of like the workouts are just there's kind of forced upon the guys and they sort of survival of the fittest, which is kind of like a college system where you do the workouts and there's 10 guys and the two best guys will survive, or you know, not individual?
That happens with a lot of teams. Yeah. You really can't individualize on a team. That's the problem with a lot of, you know, the people on the back. They just can't get the individualized training that a lot of runners need. And I'm kind of a princess with my training. It has to be perfect. And, like, I just can be thrown in the mix, just hammering in the base runs and then, like, doing extraordinarily high-volume workouts with medium intensity, moderate intensity on the track. And I just, I kind of asked Gags. I mean, it didn't work out for me. It worked out great for some of the guys on there, and they ran phenomenal. You know, they have Riley and Krista Swanick and, you know, some really great runners, Kevin Elliott. And it really worked out well for them. They, like, ran very well off of that kind of training, but I just couldn't do it, train that, like, that particular style and run well off of it. So I decided, well, it's just, because I was running pretty slow. I was running, like, you know, 4 minute 15s and,
wow.
You know, 9 minute 3Ks. And I was just like, I can't do this anymore. I really like the guys. I really, you know, respect the coach. But I can't do that at this kind of training anymore. And I mean, in all his respect, you know, he couldn't personalize it because he had too many guys that wanted to be on that team. So to personalize a training program for every single runner would be near impossible for a coach like that, you know.
Right.
So I just decided I'd have to kind of do it myself a little bit. But I had a lot of people who I could bounce ideas off of, like Ed Burke. He was an 84 Olympic camera filler who had a lot of ideas about increasing the VO2 max, even though he didn't run that much. But he was actually pretty helpful in my training philosophies as well. And Willie Harmitz, too, who had a lot of interesting workouts that I used, too, as well. And just my personal training background and master's in kinesiology helped out, too, a little bit as well. All those things. So I had a lot of advisors.
Pretty interesting stuff. I mean, did you ever think at one point about giving it up? I mean, 4 minute 1500s out of college is pretty bad.
Yeah, I definitely did. That season I was pretty close to throwing the towel. I mean, I love running. I love racing people. I love the athletes. Just everything about it is just fun for me. And then I wasn't really enjoying it as much as I should have. And I was kind of afraid of the track a little bit. So I was pretty close to throwing in the towel a little bit. But then I just kind of decided, you know, if I really want to shot at this, I really have to kind of refocus my training a little bit and try something different, because this just isn't working out for me. And I know I'm better than this, because, I mean, my first 5K ever after only 2 weeks running around 18 flat, and my, you know, second season ever running around 152, so I was gifted. I just had to put it together with training a little bit, you know, that way. So
right. I mean, do you think kind of the fact that you're on your own and you moved out to California, I mean, sort of that sort of commitment of this is what I'm doing played a big role? I mean, I know with my own twin brother, when the Olympic year, he quit his job, moved to Flagstaff, and just was totally on his own. And the breakthrough was unbelievable for him. And, you know, people still to this day sort of ask him, like, well, what was different? And it wasn't like that a whole lot was different, but, you know, it just seemed like a weird coincidence, you know, in some level. And to me, looking back at it, I sort of think that, you know, for some reason, when you know that this is it and I'm on my own and I got to do it, for some reason, you have to do it, so you do it.
Yeah. It definitely takes over your life for sure. Cause I mean, you move across the country away from all your friends and family and put your life on hold, you know, for running, and you're not even getting paid for it, you better focus. Because, you're giving up quite a bit for a sport that doesn't necessarily give you anything back.
Right.
So you have to love it.
Yeah, definitely. You talked a little about maybe focusing on the 8. Like, how fast are you at the 400? I mean, 50 point in those races doesn't seem all that fast for a guy who might try to run the 800.
Yeah. Actually, kind of Nick Simmons inspired me a little bit, just the way he gets out in the back of the pack and closes really well on the second lap. He races brilliantly every time. So I figure I could probably be good at that with my endurance background. And my speed, I was always a 48-point guy in high school, so I have a lot of natural speed. I haven't been doing too much speed recently. Everything I do is fast on the track, but nothing like, 23s or something like that. But I think that'll come around, and like I said, I haven't decided anything for sure yet, and I got to see, who's in what, so to speak, whatever my best option is. But I think last year was the first year I ever really ran the 800. It was kind of like the main thing. Well, not really. It wasn't even the main thing, but, I ran 147, which was a huge PR for me. So I figure if I kind of focus on it a little bit, I could probably get down to 144, 145. I kind of made that just the main goal sort of thing. Because, like I said, I haven't really, in college, they kept on moving me up to, like, the mile the first year, then the 3K, then the 5K, and then the 8 and 10K, and then I was just done. Distance out. So I figure I could probably go back to my roots and be a 4A guy a little bit, or train like it, and see what happens.
Definitely. It certainly seems like you've sort of found out what works for you. I guess I'll sort of end the thing. If you could give advice to anybody who's sort of, struggling with their own running right now and, wondering if it's worth it, what would you say to them?
Do it if you enjoy it and find what works for you personally. Because everyone has their own things that they like and that they believe in and that they know works for them. And focus on those things, because a lot of people will be like, well, I hate doing long ones, but I have to do them, or I hate doing speed, but I better do it on the track, when they should just focus on their strengths more and do what they like more, a little bit, what they're good at. So, and don't necessarily think that because, Nick Willis does 18 miles at like 5:30 pace, or I don't run a long one, that there's a perfect answer for everybody. They should base everything off of one person. Should say that. Yes.
Exactly. It's bizarre, though, that you get advice from a weight thrower.
Ed Birch, he's brilliant.
Yeah.
He definitely is a smart guy.
I'm sure all the cynics in my message boards are going to be like, wait, he's got a master's in kinesiology, weight thrower. They're going to be suspicious, but...
I don't care. You can drug test me up to what I do. The only thing I take is a cup of coffee in the morning.
Exactly.
I don't want to put that on there.
Well, that's good to hear. I know that my brother, again, the ultimate compliment he said was, people think just because I had a big breakthrough that I was on drugs, and he's like, that's the best compliment I can get. Come test me whenever you want. So that's good.
Yeah.
But
I don't mind.
It's definitely, it's a great story. I mean, I think are drawn to the guys that sort of are doing it on their own without the sponsors, because, that's sort of how we started the website, because we just sort of, particularly Hayley was in that spot a couple of years ago. But,
yeah.
I guess my advice to you would be, I think it's going to be hard now that you've run 356 to open the year. I think keep enjoying it, because I think sometimes people create false pressure for themselves. When I coach the kids at Cornell, if a kid has a good race to start the year, he totally rewrites his goals, and he starts to try to force things instead of just running,
Yeah, that's true.
Have fun with it, because you'll always have, thank God, that race is on tape. You can always go back and replay that, until
that's the nice thing about running. All you have to do is run it once, and I'm a 356 miler for the rest of my life.
You should have leaned, though. It would have been 355.
I know. They said that on the announcement, too. I thought I ran a 365.9 for the longest time, and then I saw the results, and I was like, oh, come on.
It was the first race of the year. Hopefully you'll run faster later in the year. But thanks a lot, and I'll probably...